Now today we're studying 1 Timothy chapter 4. We need to be reminded that the purpose for which Paul is writing this letter to Timothy is to encourage him in his pastoral ministry. There are many problems in the church, and false teachers are arising. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy and teaching him about his own personal ministry and about church life. Here then is 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So here is a statement about the Holy Spirit expressing what will happen in latter times. Now, the latter times began with the early church and continue throughout church history in our day, and it's safe and accurate to say that we're living in the last times, the last days, the latter times. And the Holy Spirit is giving to Paul this message about what will happen. Some will depart from the faith. There will be an apostasy. And as the apostasy or the falling away comes, there will be certain attitudes that they have. The false teachers are liars, and they are devoted to the demonic. And so Paul gives this warning. Furthermore, they have a seared conscience. They're beyond feeling guilt or remorse, or without sensitivity toward God, and without a desire to be obedient to the teaching of Paul and the others. They are false teachers. Says they are liars. They are hypocrites, and with a seared conscience. And then in beginning in verse 3, Paul states the content of their apostasy. What are they doing and teaching? He says they are forbidding to marry, whereas marriage is throughout Scripture as a good thing. Forbidding to marry. Now, the most prominent group in our day teaching this apostasy is, of course, the Roman Catholic Church, forbidding the clergy or the priesthood to marry. Now that cannot be found in Scripture. It comes out of their own tradition as they are adding to Scripture. Marriage is not forbidden in the Scripture. And then secondly, they say they are to abstain from foods, certain foods. And the Bible says here that all food is okay and all right if it's received with thanksgiving. You don't have to eat fish on Friday, and you don't have to abstain if it could be eaten with thanksgiving. We are free to eat. And so there is the error. What is the error? It's emphasizing external things, attempting to parade holiness by forbidding to marry, to say that, oh, I don't have time for marriage, I'm giving my time to the Lord. Or abstaining from certain foods is trying to parade a holiness. The idea of the Pharisees wanting to be seen and known of men, wanting to be called holy. And of course, this is so wrong. They go beyond God's instructions. And so the Holy Spirit instructs Paul that this is going to be taking place in the latter days, of falling away from the faith. Now, in verses 6 to 11, Paul begins his outline or his teaching about a godly pastor. What does a godly pastor look like? Verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the great doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather to godliness. Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. The godly pastor, Timothy, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ if you do these things. What is it? First of all, he lists the warning of the danger of false teaching. If you instruct the brethren in these things about the apostasy and about the false teaching, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And you overcome them, and you overcome false teaching by being strong in the Word, by teaching sound doctrine. And sound doctrine is that truth which God gave to Paul, which comes forth in the New Testament letters. And so, Timothy, you're a good servant. You warn of false teaching, and you overcome false teaching by being strong in the Word, by being a sincere student of Scripture. And no matter how many years you may be in the ministry, you never stop being a student, a serious, sincere student of Scripture, willing to be taught and eager to learn, praying that God will give us continual hunger to know the truth of His Word. And in our own personal life, we need to be constantly nourished in the Word of God, fed by God Himself in His Word. And that what we are learning then overflows into our ministry. whatever we do publicly is the overflow of what we are learning privately in the Word of God. Paul goes on then to talk about some unholy teaching. He says, reject profane and old wives' fables. Anything contradicting to Scripture, reject it. Do not spend time in rejecting anything contradicting to Scripture. He talks to Timothy about being disciplined in verse 8. This word discipline or exercise refers to a gymnasium, to train, to exercise. He says bodily discipline is limited. It's helpful in certain ways, but godly discipline, godly exercise is inclusive. It not only helps in this life, but in the life which is to come. Then he talks about being a man of hard work. For this we labor, verse 10, and suffer reproach. We labor. You can't go into the ministry and not expect to work hard. It's hard work. Paul speaks of it night and day. That's true of every sincere pastor who has ever been in that role. It is hard work. It is night and day. And it's labor. To this end, we labor. To the point of exhaustion, we labor night and day. With a fixed heart for God. And this is a statement here at the end of verse 10, where he says, we trust a living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Now, this is not a statement which is teaching universal salvation, that all will be saved. There are some, quote, who are saved temporarily or in the temporal, natural state of affairs. There are some who are saved eternally. So we could say that unbelievers have some benefits from the Lord. They have His mercy in that God allows them to drink His water, breathe His air, eat His food, live in on His earth. And so that's what this phrase means about being the Savior of all men, but especially of those who believe. That is the salvation of the Lord, which takes us to heaven and gives us the forgiveness of sin. And then Paul goes on in verse 11 through 16. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. What does a godly pastor look like? Paul has spoken to us in verses 6 to 10 about that. Now in verses 11 through 16, he continues. A godly pastor will teach with authority because he has a strong, first of all, a strong commitment to the authority of God's Word. The Word of God is authoritative from God Himself. Therefore, when we preach and teach the Word, it carries an air of authority about it. These things command and teach. There is a teaching with authority, with the proper interpretation of God's Word. And of course, interpretation is a subject in itself. There are good books about this. Everyone intending to enter the ministry should have a class or two on interpretation. Let me just say at this point that one of the very, very vital factors in interpretation is to find the purpose for the passage or the book. You have to find the purpose for the book of 1 Timothy. You have to find the purpose for each chapter and the purpose for each paragraph. And so we can say the purpose of that which we are now reading and studying is Paul's purpose is to instruct Timothy in being a godly pastor and to be committed to please God first and to feed the sheep. Now, he continues to talk about the pastor and his ministry, first of all, by being an example. In verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in several ways. As far as being youthful is concerned, let no one despise your youth because you are earning respect. Whether you're young or old or whatever age you are, every person needs to earn respect, especially those in leadership. You cannot lead if you are not respected. Earn the respect of everyone by being an example. And first of all, he says here, in word, that is, be an example in speech. What you say reveals who you are. That speech must first of all be truthful, must be trustworthy, and secondly, it must be edifying. We must speak for the purpose of building up believers in the faith. Then he speaks about conduct. Be an example to the believers in word and in conduct. And our conduct is through righteous living, not hypocritical, being real, being sincere. Now, this idea of being righteous or living righteously covers the whole gamut of biblical teaching. So how do we look at that? How can we simplify it to say we are living righteously? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ summed it up in the Gospels, and it's summarized for us in the book of Galatians, that here's the way to live. You love the Lord your God with all your being. And when we do that, the rest of Christian living falls in place. Now, we could take up the items of do not smoke, do not do, do not, do not, do not. And we can come through all that. But if we don't love the Lord with all of our heart, we're not living righteously. So concentrate on this. Righteous living comes out of loving the Lord with all our hearts. And then Paul says in verse 12, not only be an example in word and in conduct, but in love. That is, for the minister, love is revealed in sacrificial service. Being a godly pastor requires the sacrifice of time and, we'll say, pleasures. Let's say the pastor's a golfer and he's got this wonderful opportunity to play golf with some friends at a beautiful place, and that's on Tuesday morning, about 11 o'clock. He's looking forward to this, but about 8 o'clock that morning, he receives a call from a distraught wife. They're having terrible problems in their marriage and a confrontation that morning. And she calls and says, "Can you please come over?" The godly pastor, in sacrificial love, says, "I'll be there." And he goes over to take care of them rather than to fulfill this pleasure for himself in the golf match. And of course, that just repeated over and over and happened. So anyone who plans to enter the ministry and does not have a willingness for sacrificial love should not enter the ministry. Then he goes on to say, be an example in spirit, which is this attitude of life of humility, being a humble servant of the Lord. And then he says, in faith. If a pastor is to be an example in any way, it has to be in faith. People are looking for our faith. And in the Gospels it says about the four men who let the paralytic down in that house. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, the faith of a godly leader can be seen in how he responds to difficulty, to health problems, to financial problems, to difficulties in the church. Be an example in trusting the Lord. He says then, be an example in purity. A pure heart, a pure life, devoted to the Lord. The pastor and his ministry is, first of all, by an example. The second thing that Paul gets into here about the pastor and his ministry is through a biblical ministry. A godly pastor gives primary attention to the Bible. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation or preaching, and to doctrine, to the reading of Scripture. And I'm finding today that in many worship services, there is a real lack of Bible reading in public worship services. There is a real lack of biblical exposition. And I think Paul would say to Timothy, Timothy, Bible preaching and teaching has to be your top priority. Now there's a problem because the call for the leadership time is just spread out everywhere. And there's a temptation to be slack in study and preparation. Give attention to Bible teaching and make that your top priority. And then he speaks about a faithful ministry, being an example, having a Bible ministry, and having a faithful ministry. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, this gift that was bestowed upon you and confirmed by the church. And any man who wants to be in Christian leadership of any kind cannot just take that on of himself and put him in that position. Must be confirmed by the church. And to give himself totally to these things. And then Paul has a concluding statement in verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will both save yourself and those who hear you. Pay attention. Be alert. Think of your own personal life, your public service, and God will use that in the way that He chooses. And you can become the agent of salvation as the message of the gospel flows through your life. Timothy, here is a very, very vital message for you and for all who would aspire to be in Christian leadership as pastors, teachers, workers. Don't do this. Don't attempt to enter into this ministry apart from a serious study of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Heavenly Father, take these truths and put them into our life and help us to be godly servants. In Jesus' name, amen.